Welcome, Stree, the Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to affect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. Well, that was a nice pickup.
Yeah, what happened? We like looks like we missed half of it. Did we miss half of it?
I don't know. Maybe. Pardon me. You know, it's a slow start. Maybe Restream's feeling the same.
Restream's having one of those days, isn't it?
Yeah, but they gave us...
The what?
They gave us some cool features this morning. We have spooky style...
Hang on, we do.
Lower thirds.
Oh, hang on. You got that. What do we got?
See our names? I could do this. I could do this.
Hey, where are you off to?
Anyway, good morning and welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is episode 38.
It's crazy. You pilot this morning. It is soggy, damp, and foggy. I went upstairs to make the cupboards. Oh, I do like those. Those are fun. I had soggy and damp and foggy this morning, which is kind of...
Are you talking about the weather?
Or the brain or everything?
I'm feeling soggy, damp, and foggy.
Yeah, your head's a little foggy. I'm still waking up. I got my cup of tea. I think the show's just... You know what? Sod it. I think we should just have an hour of just feeding Milo snacks and just call it a day.
Not a bad idea. Someone's got to eat.
Today on one of... Today, on today's show, we have decided the best way of marketing is simply feed the dog snacks.
It's bring the pup to work day and feed them.
Feed them snacks. Oh, hi.
Such a floof. So cute. Mine, in the meantime, are all spooned up together. It's a triple spoon.
This one has decided, I think, that today is the snack feeding day. I had Daisy. He's in a particular cuddly mode. He wandered off at some hour this morning, and then I came upstairs to make a cup of tea. And I think he must have been like, oh, Dad's going to have a quick bite to eat because I got to take when I take my tablets, I got to have food.
So,
Maria, shout out to Evie, apparently. She likes my dog dad cup and she's home. So Evie, I think Maria said Evie's not doing, she wasn't feeling too good. She got caught by the bugs. So Evie, huge hugs and Milo hugs.
Too. Hugs to Evie and stay healthy, everyone. It's the season.
Oh my gosh.
I'm starting to feel it, as you can probably hear in my voice.
I went out for a bike ride yesterday, which was nice. And then got back and thanks, I love you too.
All right. Right on.
Yeah, that's it. All right, that's it.
All right, let's shake it up. Let's get going. House rules, everyone. As you know, if you've been on the show before, this is an organic conversation and we love to have you on. So if you have questions, comments, feedback, you can drop them in the comments or you can come on live. Just ping me if you want to come on live and have the discussion with us. Chris and I are going to tackle a couple cool things today. One big topic, probably sprinkled in with some subtopics. But before we get into that, Chris, how are you doing?
Not too bad. I'm hanging in. Stitches are out, so that's good. Mm-hmm. The arm is kind of healing.
Yeah,
the hematobin or whatever the big lumpy thing is, that's a deep bruise, that's still going on. Stitches are out, so that's good. Got bashed up a little bit this weekend again. Managed to trap myself between my leg, between my bike and my handlebars, and thought I broke the bloody thing out in the middle of bugfuck nowhere. So that was a fun 3 minutes. And probably more important than any of this, because of Milo's situation, I reached out to Morgan, my daughter, and said, hey, look, you know, if you want to grab some, if you know, everything else aside between us, yada, 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 Milo's, you know, in the situation he's in. If you want to see him before it gets any worse, please, you know, I'll figure it out. I will make sure that you can see him, something along those lines. So she reached out. She came over last week, and we ended up talking. And then
that's awesome.
She and I actually went out for sushi last night. So we spent a couple of hours just sitting down talking at sushi last night. So yeah, first time talked to her, seen her in almost 2 years.
So, wow.
It was really, 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 yeah. Very, yeah, it was cool. We'll leave it at that. Still processed.
Right on.
In a good way, in a very positive way.
Yeah, right on.
So, yeah, that's right, that's going on. Work is work. It's crazy as ever, you know. I've managed to go 2 weeks with a new boss. So, you know, that's actually a nice positive thing. All right, here you go. Mm-hmm.
We're all about the vulnerability here, folks.
Yeah. I'm not traveling. I was meant to be traveling, which reminds me. What are we on today? Wednesday. I need to cancel the trip. I was meant to be traveling to DC tomorrow. I was going to be in DC for some stuff, and I want to stay with him, basically. I'm not in the mode to travel. There's just too much stuff going on, and I'm just like, don't need it. And same thing with a few other things. So I got another one of those. You know, you and I talk about this a lot, which is, you know, the conferences and all this kind of stuff. And it just gets to be too much sometimes. And you just get to a point. I was meant to be going out 100%. To Seattle. And a couple of months ago, they're like, hey, yeah, you know, we'll take care of travel. We'll take care of this. And I'm like, brilliant. I don't have to do anything other than turn up. And especially with everything else I've got going on. Then I hit them up the other week. I'm like, hey, they didn't book this. And they're like, oh, if you can book it, if you don't mind taking care of it, and then, you know, just send your expenses. Here's a spreadsheet. Here's a W-2 or W-4. And I'm like, I don't have the mental bandwidth. I don't have the time. And I'm not in the mood to do it. Plus, I'm not going to float the bloody money for a conference where I'm doing a favor for a friend. And I'm not getting paid to go. So I'm just like, no. And so... sorry for not being.
Gotta take care. You gotta take care of you. That's the most important.
Yeah, and that's kind of I've gotten a little more. I wouldn't say draconian about it, but a little more selfish, should we say, about that? Which I'm not used to doing. I'm very, you know, I've always almost always kind of bent over backwards. But at last couple of months, it's been like, no, I just can't keep doing that shit.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna be. Exciting to see you kind of hunt and take care of you. I mean, you're sharing that online, which is great. It's great to see your vulnerability on LinkedIn and see your posts and get the messages on text with the biking. So I love that.
Yeah, biking's great. It's
it
helps a ton. And just, you know, being up in the woods, up in the cabin for, you know, 2 or 3 days in a week is.
That was a beautiful photo, by the way.
Yeah.
You dropped, what was it, last week?
Yeah, there's some fun ones. Yeah, it's I mean, there's so many different rides, and it's probably going to be snow up there, a little bit of snow up there this week. So long bike shorts and the thermal top, and we'll go out and go play. Hopefully we won't hit too many trees along the way.
Speaking of hitting trees, we have a couple good examples of trees hitting us on our inbox.
Oh, good grief.
Before that, I want to switch things up a little bit because I just got a message from one of our longtime listeners, Ally, who says he wants to validate a pitch.
Oh,
if we can.
All right.
And Ally needs to drop early today. So I want to bring him on so we can go through his pitch and let him go about his day because he has to skedaddle. So let's bring Ally on if you're cool with that, Chris.
I am. I just got another Muppet one. I'm like, why do people do this to me? I can't even pronounce this name of what it, I don't know if it's the product or why do people do this? I got four acronyms in the first sentence. The entire sentence is nothing more than I mean, I don't see a why.
I can see Ally switching up his pitch right now in the back end. I'm just kidding. He's laughing.
Yeah, let's have a listen to this pitch because yeah.
Oh, all right, what's up, Ally?
Not much. How you doing?
Doing good. All right, what do you have for us today?
All right, so this pitch is really, really simple. because I mean, as you both know, I do stuff with biometrics. We made a way to send a message that's encoded with your facial biometric. And so the entire pitch is, do you want me to send you a message encoded with your face that lets you send messages to other people encoded with their face to see how my tech works?
Hmm. All right. Interesting. All right. I mean, there's a part of me that likes it, but there's also a part of me that's just being dribbled on. there's a part of me that likes it. The only, okay. So talk to me through the mechanisms of it.
So
here's the reason I ask. So what lands in my inbox?
So you would get, so like I can actually do this if you want. I would take, for instance, your LinkedIn profile picture.
Yeah.
And encode that and send you a message. It would come from trustedmessage@trustamp.net. That's the name of the product. And what would land in your inbox would be a username and password for you to now be able to send the messages and instructions, of course, on how to use it.
All right. Now, here's, okay. I like the idea, but not as an initial pitch for a couple of reasons. One, somebody, as you just said on the LinkedIn one, the challenge on doing anything like this as just a first instant thing is, remember, you have my attention span for, you know, if it hits my inbox and doesn't hit my spam, you got my attention span for maybe 10 seconds, maybe 15 at most. You're now asking me, or your email is demanding / asking of me to go out and log into something. And potentially now I've got to take my user ID. I've got to take a password that you've given me, which instantly breaks that kind of conversation. Because if you've given me a password, even if it's a temporary password, now I've got to think of a new password to put in a password. So I have to put effort in to figure out what the fuck I'm actually doing. Does that make sense? I get the logic on it, but if it's...
So then would it make more sense for me to say, look, I'll just send you a message encoded with your face. If you think it's interesting, then I'll make it so you can, then I'll give you a login too, so you can send them.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's tough. I like the idea. I like the idea of, now here's a question. Can I decode, who, rewind, engage brain. I can encode it with my face, but then somebody could also decode it with my face. Somebody else could get hold of my LinkedIn profile picture and decode it.
So that's one of the things that I would encourage you to test with it, is because like what somebody else decoding it with your face would be what we would call like a presentation attack. And so that's part of actually the what you're able to test is different ways of circumventing. So when I upload your image, that's turned off because I am putting the image that I want. But then when you actually go through the flow to unlock it, then it's detecting whether you're on.
Basically you've taken stenography to a different level. I mean, it's encoding stenography at the end of the day. Stenography, hiding a message inside an image file to some degree. Instead of hiding the message, you're using the image file to encode me.
It's the cryptographic key is your face, basically.
It's the face, yeah. Like the idea, I'd be intrigued to know how many people would geek out over that as a first pitch. I think as a leadership level, probably not. I think if you do it at you do it like analyst tech level, senior tech, senior analyst, that kind of level. If you aim for the, I still do shit. Let's face it. I don't just sit in meetings all day, but if you aim for the doers rather than the leaders, I think you're likely to get more of a hit on it because it's more of a geek out thing.
Or like during drinks or something at a show where it's
I think that, I think much more in person because, you know, I've got 10 questions lined up already, which isn't good for a first pitch. It is, because it prompts a follow-on question, but to get there, I have to interact, and to interact, it means I got to spend time, and it means I've got to log in. I've got to think about these things when in the morning I'm looking through stuff quickly and just bashing through stuff. To me, it would be like a good second or third one after you've gotten through that. Hey, you know, congratulations on being a unique snowflake. Your picture can be your key. You know, it's, I mean, there you go. You know, I mean, you could have some fun with that. If there's somebody you kind of know, you could literally use that. You know, I mean, especially with it being winter time. I mean, literally, you could almost get away with calling somebody a special snowflake. I mean, you could have fun with that. I mean, we're all, yeah. I mean, you could almost poke fun at, you know, we're all unique, special snowflakes. We're all this, which is why we built something along these lines, to use your image and to use this and to have some fun in doing it. And da 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 da. If you want to hear more, let me know. Love to be on a demo to you. Love to show it to you. Something along those lines.
I feel like, though, with something like that, much more sophisticated than the general reach, right?
Yeah. Maria said it as well. It sounds like she was typing at the same time I was saying it, which is, yeah. Like, to me, it's definitely a second or third pitch. But I also think it's a second or third pitch at somebody who will understand the tech enough to know, because there was a good one from one of the LinkedIn users, which is, yeah, there we go, encode the business card in your image. That's kind of cool as well. It's something along those lines. But I think that's definitely a second or third pitch down the line, because the first pitch, you'll lose me. And I'll look at this. Honestly, if I didn't know you, you know, you and I have talked, I think it's cool. But if I didn't know you, I'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake, I don't have time for this. And off it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perhaps it would be better used like after a discovery call or where we've had the conversation, like, look, rather than spending any effort in you integrating or doing anything, why don't I just give you access to test it by sending messages? Because then you can pen test it if you want to, right? Because you were already asking, how do you get around it? Which I know one way.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the other problem. The sarcastic part of me, I don't want to be the one pen testing your product. If you're going to present me with a product, you should be presenting me with a product that's actually not more than half baked, but you get where I mean with this. I shouldn't put yourself in my shoes as the CISO. If I'm looking at a product, I want to look at something that's done, not something that I still have to worry about what the vulnerabilities are. I got enough shit in my environment at the moment that every single damn day, NewSpire sends me a like, hey, here's what got breached today. And thankfully, none of our products are on the damn thing. But you see what I mean? I mean, here's a high level threat briefing, and I'm like, oh crap, did somebody pop any, not necessarily our stuff, but any of the tech stack that we have? And touch wood, thankfully we're in fairly good shape so far. So that concerns me, is I don't want to put, I would never bring something into my environment that I haven't already tested. Now, I would design partner with you. That's a very different conversation. And the design partner conversation is definitely 3 or 4 or 5 conversations down the line. No two ways about it.
Gotcha. Yeah, because that's, I mean, I think with any of the things, and this is where maybe I'm a little oddball, but I always, like, any control we put in, there's going to be a way around it.
Totally.
And if there's not today, it will be later.
And I like that, and I'm fine with that, but those conversations are definitely 2 or 3 conversations in, because you've got to understand your audience. Somebody like me, who's a tech geek, who thinks that way, you're going to hit perfectly. But somebody who is, let's say, an operational CISO, or somebody who is likes their labels, you know, they only look at Gartner's Magic Quadrant and they only look at Forrester's this, then they only buy something that's got a label on it. You'll lose them in 10 seconds flat. Or maybe
so they buy from the people with the biggest marketing budget then.
Yeah, there we go. Yes. I mean, that's the way I look at it, is got to figure out you're going to hit a certain audience, basically the geek CISO, or even I wouldn't go for the CISO. I go for the tech stack. I'd go for my team. My team would find this interesting, would find this fun. And then as part of the conversation we're having today is, you arm the team to be able to not just take it to the CISO, but for the CISO to go, oh, that's just cool. I like this. I see use cases for this in 5 different areas, which you've helped the team define. Now I can take this message to the board, or I can take this message to finance and go, hey, you know, this isn't in our budget, but this is in our, hey, this is in a future stack of where we want to go. Here's how we want to develop and work with it. So you've almost got to build that tech case with the tech folks or whoever, you know, in my case, it would probably be one of the crew or myself even on this one, or probably one of the crew because I'm running out of freaking hours in a day.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Yeah, that's they're the one person that we've talked about. I might actually just send them a message and be like, hey, I got a cool thing, like play with it.
Yeah, I mean, I freaking love that idea. I mean, that's, and to me, that's a cool thing. Now, if you're going to do that, the other thing you want to do is go, hey, look, I play with it. Let me know your thoughts on it. I'll owe you for it. And I'd love to have a conversation about being a design partner or something along those lines. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Here's the reason, because now you differentiate yourself. I get a couple of days, not every single day, but like at least every other day, I get somebody outreach to me and go, hey, we'd love to spend 50 minutes and get your thoughts on our product.
Right. Which, free consulting?
Right. 100%. And there are companies, and I charge for doing that sometimes. I mean, I just did that with... a good friend, Yael. She set something up with another vendor and a partner, and you know, it was paid for in time, and it was an hour of just tearing through their stuff, and I got paid for it. Well, I will get paid for it. You know, and I have no problem doing that because again, that money, you know, the money gets used for travel, charity, and all that kind of good stuff, and so I am okay doing that, and I'm okay doing the free stuff sometimes, but there are times I'm like, hey, this takes time and effort, and it takes brain cycles, and I'm fine messing with some of it, but there are times I'm like, hey, we're gonna have to have a conversation about doing something different. So yeah.
So let's recap high level the feedback, Chris, on in terms of like the points take into consideration, and then Ally, I'd like to know what your next steps are. So we have audience. We have audience. Take into consideration audience. Who is this message for? Timing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Humor. Humor and continuation after.
Yeah. I think it's also, you know, it's I don't know what the official term is, but when you're laying out a campaign, it's like, okay, what's the first message? You know, the first message is congratulations. We're all special snowflakes. And we can use this if you want to learn more, that kind of thing. To me, that would be like the first one for this. And the second one, you know, if somebody bites on that one, it would be like, hey, love to have a conversation with you. I'm going to do this, or I'd love to do this. These are how I'd love to do the next steps, and kind of go from there and have some fun with it. I do like the business card idea, but actually you could also have some fun. Thinking about it, you could encode the meeting link in a facial image. I mean, you could have some fun with that. You know, I mean, if you're going to set a meeting up, like, hey, look, I want to kind of demo it to you, and let's have a little bit of fun with it. And, you know, I'll encode the meeting link in the Facebook. But you need to make it easy for somebody to be able to decode it. Getting somebody to log in and register and all that stuff does two things. One, it puts me on the defensive because I'm like, oh, shit, I'm giving a user ID and a password, which means I'm going to get more fucking marketing emails. I'm going to get all this shit. And then I'll cry out loud. I'm never going to get rid of this crap. Make it very, very, very clear that, you know, that you're not signing up for marketing. You're not going to get a message every month or every 6 months or every 6 minutes. Do that very, very carefully. And then maybe make some fun with it. Have some fun with it. But definitely I would aim at the text. I would aim, you know, back to Danny's thing. And this is the thing we always say, know your audience.
It would maybe make more sense just to say like, look, why don't I send you a message encoded with your face? If you think it's cool, I'll tell you how it works. And if you want, you know, and then at that point, you know, if they're like, hey, this is really cool. Like, I do want to know how it works. Cool. Then I tell you how it works and say, do you want to be able to send them? Like, maybe I need to spread it out more.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would do. I would definitely, because again, come back to that. You know, if it hits the inbox first and foremost, rather than the spam side of the world, if it hits the inbox, I just got this fucking, I mean, literally, and I'm going to, I mean, hello, Chris. Sisal, bug sex, new cloud detection and response platform powered by AI and ML. I'm like, you motherfuckers. Offers you a fortress of security in this rapidly evolving threat landscape, and being proactive is key. Discover the capabilities and ensure you're ahead of the unseen risks. Da, 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 da.
I kind of want to, like...
I mean, my God. I mean, how bad would it be?
Well, and I think what a lot of the messaging, like when you dial up FUD like that, you're just missing... We get to play with really cool toys.
Yes.
You just miss all the joy of, like, we get to do some stuff that, like, I mean, I was born in the 80s. In the 80s and 90s, we would see it on TV and be like, oh, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. Did not exist. And now it does. Now how cool is that?
Oh, no, I totally get it. And it's doing it in a way that hits. That doesn't hit. I mean, that's about to get actually, that's about to get the link to the fucking podcast, to be perfectly honest.
This fortress of security, huh? That's you should send them back the Fortress of Solitude and be like, "You're where your email's going."
All right, so Ally, given the feedback you got and kind of the recommendations, what are the next steps? And we'd love for you to bring back the improvements or changes that you're going to be doing and tests that you're going to be doing out in the market. Let us know how that's going.
Yeah. So I think what I'll probably do is send a message asking permission, obviously to use their biometric to send an encoded message. Somebody says yes, then I'll send it inside there. What they open, you know, cause it's a one-time view and it disappears once the tab's closed. Just say like, let me know if you want to know how this works.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. Just and I'd be interested in that one. And again, I think I would aim it at the tech level. I would definitely aim it at the tech level. I think I would aim it at the tech level. Yeah.
Cool. Because that's, I mean, part of the goal, of course, is that to get a little bit of virality around people sending face encoded messages, where it's just we can do something fun.
I do like it. I think it's cool. Don't get me wrong. I like it. I think the idea is cool. I think the idea is really cool. But it's getting it accepted. It's getting the attention. It's getting folks to actually think about doing that. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And it's that ease of access. It's, you know, if I see a freaking user ID and a password, or I see this, then there's more things. Somebody, Elliot, said an interesting one, which is, am I able to link a demo? Now, the only problem I have with any of that stuff is, first and foremost, a lot of inbound stuff gets stripped off. So links typically get stripped off. You might end up in the spam. You might end up in the sin bin. You know, you might end up, anybody with an answer sense on them isn't going to click a link in the first place, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I would keep it as simple as you can. I mean, to give this one some credit, it's relatively simple, but it's full of fucking buzzwords and crap. So it's just like, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I will design like a little stack here, and I'll give it a shot and let you guys know how it goes.
Yeah, please do. I'd be interested. I'm intrigued to see how it goes. And yeah, I mean, if you want, hit up one of my crew by far and away. Use them and just and tell them, hey, you're a guinea pig. Chris volunteered you.
I will. Yeah.
Deal.
All right, Ally.
So when you start getting messages encoded with your face from your text, you'll know my fault.
I mean, they'll do that as well. And that's the thing. I mean, that, now you'll have an advocate because he'll have a ton of fun with it.
Amazing. Perfect. Thanks, Ally, for coming on and validating. That's awesome. I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Ally. Much appreciated.
Absolutely. Appreciate you too. Thanks for the help. This is huge.
No, it's good. It's nice to talk about this stuff and just kind of kick ideas around, definitely.
Cool. All right. Hang back if you can, whenever you can. I know you have to move early today, but if you can tune into the rest of the conversation, we'd love that. And have a great day.
Yeah. You too. All right. Thanks, Danny. Thanks, Chris. Take care
of you.
Amazing. That was a really good use case. Good. Good feedback session.
Yeah, no, I like it. I mean, I like the idea, definitely. I like the tech stack. There's definitely, you know, that's definitely one that's going to need the right audience, right timing, all that kind of good stuff, and a bit of planning on it. No two ways about it. Yeah, Paul's perfect. Amazing how frequently I read Ever-Evolving Landscape. Like, no shit.
Every single time. All right, let's
Hey, Maria, give Evie a big hug from us, please. Like a huge hug. Milo is curled up underneath the table at the moment. So give him a big hug.
Let's dig into the next topic. We talked about this before the session today, and we kind of extracted the topic from last week's conversation, helping CISOs make the business case for a solution or a product, especially when it comes to, you know, bringing it up to the board as well, right? Mm-hmm. In the conversations that I've had in the past few years with professional security professionals, it's really clear that there's this thirst for the practitioners to have sales professional play that role in helping them make cases, right? And
oh yeah, totally.
Helping them translate the business case to the board as well. So, it's easier said than done. I want to dig in today to understand how they can do that. You know, Dimitri and I spent a great deal of time, you know, building out the academy and building out the CISO Value Distillery, but I want to know your advice. I want to know what would work for you, right? Let's dig into that today.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's what's important to understand. I was actually going to bring up, I just suddenly was thinking about it. I'm like, how do I do this? I'm like, ooh, I know how I do this. Let me, and obviously I can't share them, but what I can do is I can have up on my screen here, board slides.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is me leaning in now.
Oh yeah, big time. So I have a fairly certain, I've worked with the board. The first meeting I had with the board was actually not long after I started at Boom. So we're going back, you know, beginning of last year. And they were, it was a relatively short to middle time session. I mean, it was probably maybe like 5 minutes. And, you know, it was an intro, hello, you know, I'm the new scary, hairy thing that's joined the company. And the conversation was very much like, oh, so how are we doing? You know, how are you going to protect us? I'm like, I never will. And if I ever tell you I'm going to protect you, you need to fire me immediately and go find somebody else who won't say the same things. And so it was a very blunt and almost somewhat educational set of conversations. And at the time when I had conversations with the board, they obviously came into those meetings with expectations and obviously sitting on other boards, they had a level of what they wanted to see and how they wanted to see it. So the first thing you need to understand, if you're approaching this from the sales and marketing standpoint, the first thing you need to do really with anybody that's talking to the board is how well do they understand their own audience? Because that was a reset and a conversation that took really, I mean, I guess almost like a board and a half's worth or two board meetings worth of conversations was, how do I effectively communicate with the board in a way that they understand, they want to see the data, I'm also comfortable presenting the data, and they are able to receive it, understand it, learn it, process it, ask the questions they need to ask, and feel comfortable that I actually know what the hell I'm doing and that they are comfortable representing the organization as well. So that takes communications on both sides. You know, it takes me understanding my audience. It takes the audience themselves, i.e. the board, knowing, understanding, and to some degree, definitely trusting that I'm not going to blow smoke. And so if you're coming in as sales and marketing, the first validation I think anybody has to do is go, Chris, do you even know your fucking audience? And if you don't know your audience, no matter what a sales and marketing person throws at you, it could land completely incorrectly. So I think that's the first validation before you waste any time on trying to give me the board stuff. You've almost got to validate that, you know, do you know how they even want to get talked with? Hopefully that understanding is in place. I now have a set of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I got a set of 10 slides I present to the board every quarter. Now, I might be cutting those slides down fairly soon, getting rid of one or two of them, but it's a set of 10 slides. Now, yeah. Here's how I break my slides down. The first one is basically an executive summary. Slide executive summary. What? Where are we on the journey? And then what's in the rest of the presentation? And where are we on the journey is high-level bullet points. If you read nothing more than this one slide, if all of a sudden my, because I'm very fortunate with the book, I get 10, 20 minutes to talk. So I, you know, and if all of a sudden it gets cut down to 2 minutes, then if you read nothing more than this one, that gives you what you need to know. So, and it's very, very high level. This is the 60,000 foot stuff. It talks about, in this case, the one I'm looking at, it talks about, some of the assessment stuff we've done. And, these are all one sentence. These are one sentence or less bullet points. These are all like 5, 7 words at most. It talks about awareness and communication, talks about policies, talks about risk quantification, talks about metrics, talks about avionics, talks about data, talks about assessment. So we're talking strategic at this point in
but time. All, there is all that in 20 minutes. I imagine you have to be a very good storyteller to do all that in 20 minutes.
Very, very good storyteller. Yeah. And very, very articulate as well. And so, and I think this is where it comes down to. So, I look at the second slide. So the second slide is an operational update. So you got the summary. Now let's dig a little bit into the operational side of the world. And this is obviously, remember, this is for the previous quarter. So what was achieved in the previous quarter? We talk a little bit, in this case, we're talking about threat intelligence. In this case, we're also talking about relationships with other entities inside the aerospace ecosphere, talking about incident response planning, talking about awareness training, and talking about data. And so these are all operational. So again, it's basically one sentence and one or two or three bullet points. That's the operational update. So again, very, very high level, very strategic. We're not 60,000 foot, we're now down to say 20,000 feet view. I haven't mentioned a company. I haven't mentioned anybody's technology. I haven't mentioned anything along those lines. Next slide. In fact, really the next three slides go into our NIST cybersecurity framework, where we were, where we are, and where we're going to be on this next quarter. And it goes into the metrics of that. In other words, what our score is from an 800-171, what our score is from a NIST cybersecurity framework. And then there's a section of wins. So what went well? I also have a section later on that says what didn't go well and what are we improving on? Mm-hmm. And so again, we are back talking about probability and risk. Mm-hmm. And so from a board level conversation, again, there's no tech in here. There's no, hey, we're bringing in Fred Blogs Incorporated to put in this widget and everything else. This is, here is our score. Here is what we said our score would be. And here is where our score is. And the nice thing about it to this point is we've been very, very good at keeping ahead of where we said to the board we would be. It's a nice conversation to have, thankfully. And then a couple of wins. Now, I will say on one of these wins, actually, there are two companies mentioned. One of them is one of the auditing software we used, and actually NewSpire is mentioned on this one as well. And that's it. Basically, what are we doing? Where are we doing it? What wins have we had, and how well are we integrating, and how well is everything going on certain things? The next slide talks about our self-assessment. In other words, what's working well and opportunities for improvement. At this point, we get into a little bit more of the tactical side of things. And this goes into what's working well. So we talk about, the assessment stuff, the governance stuff, integration, collaboration, some of the stuff with the super factory we're doing, some of the stuff with inventory and asset management stuff, and some other bits and pieces as well. There are two or three software packages mentioned, but again, no vendor side of the world. And then opportunities for improvement. There's a couple of things in there where we're talking about relationships with organizations, where maybe there's things that we're working on, things that we're struggling with, and things that we're looking to improve and change. Some of the cloud stuff we're doing, some of the other bits and pieces. Again, on the self-assessment, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, what is working well bullet points. and there are five bullet points of operating issues from improvement. You know, and these are, the board gets to read ahead, and I always have notes. So not only do you have the PowerPoint presentation, but there's always notes. I typically always have notes in like the speaker notes. So there's stuff in there if anybody wants to ask any additional context with this. And then I've got the next quarter's actions. You know, what are we planning on doing? And then this is sometimes where we get a, again, it gets a little bit more tactical. But these are, I mean, for anybody that's seen any of my presentations are, I have a number of rules, and the rules are pretty simple. There's, you know, no more than a couple of sentences on a page. They're kept simple, no crazy backgrounds, no weird shit, no fucking transitional crap, no videos or anything. These are very, very similar. Mm-hmm. There are more words on the page because, you know, my font size, for reference, for one of my better way of putting it, my font size is, you know, 14 or 16 typically. So it's still, you know, there's even on the planned in motion, there's what, 1, 2, 3, 6 bullet points, and then there's 2 at risk.
Yeah.
And it's kept, you know, what I am looking for from a, you know, if I look at somebody coming in to help me put this together, the best I really want from them is maybe 1 or 2 bullet points and maybe some talking points that go in the thing. I'm not looking for 6 slides. I'm not looking for justifications, reasons, whys, logic. Now, I will have that some, I won't have all of that in my back pocket. I'll have some of those bullet points in my back pocket and I might put a couple of them on the talking points, but that's it. Mm-hmm. My entire deck for one quarter is 10 slides. And that really doesn't change. And then, yeah, the next couple of slides are a little bit more tactical on some of the stuff that we're working on. But when I turn around, you know, a perfect example, you know, we're talking with NewSpire and a couple of other folks at the moment about doing some work with the avionics side of the world. That'll be reported out in this board meeting, but it will literally be 2, maybe 3 bullet points across this entire deck.
Let's go back to the talking points. What specific talking points and to what segment of the conversation with the board would you need a little bit more backing from a partner, an advisor within a vendor?
I think so. It's a couple of things. For me, so I'll look at it from my standpoint. I report out to the board on metrics.
Yeah.
So I report out to the board on what's going well and what's not going well. The nice thing about it is they're very, very willing to listen to both, which is a nice relief, let's put it that way. But when I report out, I'll have conversations. Let's use an example. You know, we got to go through 2024 budget planning. I'm going through that now. But the board's going to care about the high level number. In other words, what are we looking at from a budget? And maybe from a tactical standpoint, how does that break down? They're not going to care about individual line items. They might want to know about it. So then those might be in the talking points. Same thing with headcount, same thing with the various other pieces that are in there as well. But the board's going to, you know, let's just turn around. Let me just grab one of the, let's just grab one of the, not one of the wins, one of the areas for improvement. There we go. So let's talk about, physical security team. So when this one came out, I was actually integrating the physical security team. So physical security team integration into the overall strategy for safety and security. Bob might ask a question on that. Well, how is that happening? What are you doing? What tools, what tech, and what do you need to make to ensure the success of this?
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation is very, very much along the line. It's a very, very high level along the lines. It's like, well, you know, we have this amount on the team, we have these folks here. This is how they're integrating with the badge reading system. This is how they're integrating with this. And like to Maria's point on this one, it's like there might be some objections or there might be some conversations. And again, it's very, very high level bullet points. What are the 3 things, the reasons for doing this? And maybe what are the 3 things that we're going to run against that might cause us challenges? And how would we deal with those challenges? But it's high level. The board, mm-hmm. if the board wants to geek out, that's an entirely separate conversation. You know, that's offline. Because again, I got 10 slides, I got 10, 20 minutes. I'm not going to geek out with the board then. I might have a conversation afterwards with some of the other teams. They might hit me up and go, hey, look, I want to dig into, you know, I want to dig into some of the tools and tech that you're using with the physical security team because I've done APC somewhere else.
You mentioned something really interesting now, and I'm recalling back some of the conversations we had back in Anaheim with some of the CISOs in the room about board when we were talking to Checkpoint. But like, how do you said like, at some point, if the board wants to have a technical conversation, awesome. That to me seems unique. I don't know, maybe not. What's unique to me, and let me finish my train of thought, because this is an important question that might help a lot of people here. What's interesting to me is how do you, before anything, before creating the slides and before creating the narrative, how do you prescriptively understand what kind of board you're working with?
I'm ridiculously fortunate. I have a good relationship, and Liz, who chairs it, is a collaborator. She is a great communicator and she's a great collaborator. And I would say the same thing if she was on or not. And so she is very, very good at helping provide guidance. So I think what you need to be able to, so as a CISO, I need to understand. It's no different than going in front of, it's no different than talking to, you know, Kathy, who's the president, or talking to Blake, who's the CEO. I don't just walk straight into their office. I will go talk to their executive team. I'll go talk to their EAs and go, hey, how's it going? Partly, how's he doing? Or how's Kathy doing? How's she doing? Because I want to know. I want to gauge where everybody is. How are they feeling? What's going on? But also, it behooves me to do two things. One, to go talk to my peers. And this was the great thing about it is, you know, when I turned up at Boom, Charles was there and he'd had the conversation. So he already knew the lay of the land. Well, okay, if I walk into a company where I'm presenting to the board, I want to go find out who's presented to the board beforehand.
Yeah.
I want to go talk to maybe the CFO. I'll go talk to chief technology officer. I'll go talk to somebody on the other side of it. I'll go talk to the people team, you know, I go talk to Anne and some of those crew and go, hey, you know, you're always in front of the board or the advisory board. How do they like to be presented? How do they like the data sets? Who are they? Give me, and I do my own research. This is no different than somebody selling to me. They've got to figure out who I am and how I want to be communicated with. I need to eat my own dog food, for one way of putting it, and go do the same thing. And I did that.
Yeah.
You know, before I even went to the board, I realized that two or three of the folks on the board are kind of fun, geeky, techie people. A couple of them are very, very business focused. And then you've got some great communicators. So I knew generally where to pitch, but I also did some, I did some research. I'm like, hey, you know, you don't present in a vacuum. I think that's the other thing. You know, you're not in there in a vacuum. This isn't, you know, you're not sitting there in a vacuum. You are set up to succeed. You know, if you build it, when you work with various other folks around you.
At what point would it help you for the vendor to do the research for you about the kind of board they are, the personality types, the, I don't know if they could distill
I would not, good gods, no, I wouldn't want a vendor researching my board. I mean, they can do their own research if they want, but if I haven't done that myself, I should not be sitting in the CISO seat.
Okay, so that takes me to my next question. And again, open-ended, coming in tabula rasa right now. You're prepared with your board slides. You know, you have like an indication of how you should be interacting with the board.
Yep.
Does this apply across the board with all CISOs? Like, what's the maturity level of CISOs as a big segment? There are a lot of different types of CISOs, right?
Yeah.
Like, is there a good, how do I articulate this well? Like, are all CISOs well-versed in how they should be talking to the board?
Are they? No. Should they? Yes. I think it's getting better. I think it's getting better. And I would love some good feedback on this one as well. I'd be intrigued on this one. Actually, this might be a good poll to put out on the LinkedIn's is, actually, you know what? I'm going to ask the Googles, how prepared are CISOs to report Yeah, How CISOs make them ready, integration on board, focusing on acquiring the right skills, craft a better narrative, right expectations. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of tactical tips. Board C-cyber expertise, why today CISO?
Apart from the tactical tips, what do you think, like, what do you think's missing there? What's the holy grail? Maybe there's not a holy grail, but like, what's overlooked in your opinion? When it comes to successful translation of your objectives to what the business needs and what the board wants?
I mean, they have to be aligned.
Yeah.
I mean, they absolutely, and if they're not aligned, there has to be a very, very, very good conversation. Here we go. Actually, the majority of CISOs, 3 in 5 present to the full board, and nearly 4 in 5 present to a committee. So, I mean, there's a lot of, there's a lot of us that are reporting into a board. Take care, Paul. Yeah, CISOs take on more broader enterprise risk. There we go. And this is actually a really interesting one. CISOs taking on a more broad enterprise risk oversight role with regular presentations to audit committee and to the board. Yeah. Significant CISOs have significant visibility within the board and the committees, demonstrating why they might not have a direct line. They're still being heard and increasingly integrating into the organization strategy. So this is, I think this is very, very important because, you know, we're seeing it in a lot of organizations, and especially the ones I'm working with, is you are getting it. This is no longer a tech conversation. I mean, I'm mentioning some tech in here, but not a huge amount. It's all conversations about risk. It's all conversations about strategy. It's all conversations around how we support the business. And then now the challenge is the business ready to have those integration conversations? And if it isn't, then as a CISO, it's part of my job to try to help that actually align. And how do I do that? I don't always do it at the board level. I have to sometimes do it at the tactical level.
At what point would a salesperson or even a marketer, let's just say, mm-hmm. better understand those business objectives? Like, how can they collaborate with you? And again, this is very specific to you. Or, you know, yeah. CISOs or security professionals, it might not resonate with them, right? They might want to be just like, leave me alone. But my assumption is you'd want that collaboration effort because you're a collaborative person.
Yeah, I think it's...
At what point and how?
I think at what point is probably... So, you know, perfect example, we're putting the budget together. 2024's budget is going together as I speak, literally. I just pulled it up and I'm looking at it. So when I start looking at what I'm putting together for the budget, and this, you know, some of these will be high level conversations with the board, probably this quarter, to have that conversation like, hey, here's where we're focusing. And it's all related to the business. So in other words, I'm going to walk into the board and we'll have a conversation about supporting the final assembly plants, the fan manufacturing. And it'll be, how do we do that in collaboration with the finance team? How do we do that in collaboration with physical security team? How do we do that in collaboration with greasy people that are actually building a freaking airplane? And so there'll be that strategic conversation, and it'll be, you know, 2 bullet points, but there'll be a lot of talking points along with it. So from a vendor and a marketing standpoint, what I'm looking at is going, okay, you know, I'm looking at your solution, and your solution integrates in, you know, physical safety, has security in there, has the badge access control, has all this stuff. Great. I want 2 or 3 talking points that I can then, as I talk to the board about how we integrate safety and security and how we do it inside final assembly, 3 bullet points about how we're doing this effectively, one of which will end up on the slides, 2 or 3 will end up on the talking points. And I need to know generally what the general budget is likely to be, how what the timing is of getting it integrated, how well it's going to scale effectively, and you know, length of cost over length of years and support maintenance and what it's going to take my team to deal with it. So simple bullet points, but it's going to take a lot of work behind the scenes to get to.
It's all you.
And then there's other things. So I take a look at, you know, let me just take a look at some of the stuff. you know, where I think the other way is as well, the other way that maybe, so a perfect example, there's a big push, obviously, to move away from traditional applications that are hosted on a computer. So perfect example, we obviously do a lot of our designing work in these amazing, crazy environments. And, you know, we build airplanes digitally and we fly them digitally and then we go and build the stupid things. Okay. All of that happens in front of the screen in front of me. Now, is that a heavyweight computer that's loaded on my desk, or is that sitting in the cloud somewhere? There's options on these ones. So from a strategic standpoint, I need to have those conversations with engineering, with development, with the IT team and various other folks to see which way we go on this one. Then we need to build safety and security around it. Then we need to figure out how we do it and develop it and plan it and keep all the data where it should be and everything else. What the board will see is a strategic move away from the more traditional designed focus to a more cloud-centric environment, along with the necessary safety elevated enhancements, along with data security, along with this. And that's what they will see. But behind the scenes, you know, you're going to have the cloud vendor, you're going to have data-centric stuff, you're going to have browser-based stuff, you're going to have all these other things that all feed into those four bullet points or five bullet points.
Yeah.
So each one of those vendors, it's going to be a conversation along the lines of like, hey, is this possible? How do we do this? Can we do this? How do we do it effectively? How do we do it safely? What the f- is it going to cost me? How do we scale this and all those other conversations? So, and all of that will be sitting in the talking points behind the scenes.
Again, we have 5 minutes left. Okay. So before we sign off though, I want to know, like, just like a quick fire, what are some questions that sales professionals can ask you to better understand how to help you prepare for the board discussion?
I think sales professionals can probably ask their contacts to even validate it first off and foremost, which is, you know, how effective are your communications with the board? You know, how often and how effective, and how can we support you?
Yeah.
And I think the big one on this one, because I chastised somebody on this the other day. I was going through their sales deck, and they were talking about that this level of stuff, and they were quoting their own research. So I'm like, that won't fly. The research that you quote, the research that I bring to the board, I better be able to independently verify, not verify through the vendor that I'm bringing to the table, but that's anything where I'm coding data needs to be independently verified. So I think that's the other big one, is don't come to me as an endpoint solution and go, hey, you know, we protect 95% of endpoints. Well, no, I don't give a shit what you protect. I care what other people think you protect. I care maybe what Forrester, or I don't care what Gartner thinks, but I'll use those as an example. But I care what these other organizations, I care about independent testing. I care. So if you're going to bring me facts and figures, those facts and figures need to be independently verified. I think that's a big one for me. Because again, if I don't bring independent facts and figures, my board should hold me accountable to that. So, but I think anybody that's talking to a senior leadership, first and foremost, needs to understand what level of communication they have with their peers, and also what communication they have with either an audit committee or a board or something along those lines. That's first and foremost. And then I think it behooves anybody that's talking to leadership to go, hey, you're not going to get four fucking slides in here or three slides, or you're not even going to get a slide in here. You're going to get bullet points and you're going to get talking points. And maybe you'll have a couple of slides behind the scenes that go in the pre-deck stuff, but you're not getting a slide deck in there. You know, your board presentation is, if it's done properly, is a lot of conversation and some pertinent bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if it isn't helpful, done that way, you can lose the board. Yeah.
This has been helpful. Obviously, there's so much into with regards to this topic.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe to expand on this in article format.
I like the article format. Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those where it might be fun to maybe put a post out or an article out, and, you know, just, you know, the CISO's guide or something like that, you know, basically how would you, because I mean, I'm looking at a couple of the ones now, most of them are behind freaking register walls or paywalls and all that kind of crap. So
sounds good. Yeah, we can work Have literally 50 seconds left. I do want to stop at the top of the anything you want to announce before we sign off?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's this comes back to one of our key topics. We always say this, but it comes back to this: know your audience. And this is very much a call out to CISOs, very much so, is know your audience. And leadership is know the audience. Know how and whom you are talking with, and know when to talk about certain things. I mean, you don't go in talking about technical metrics. You sure as hell don't go in with acronyms. You don't go within problems without solutions. You don't go in there with FUD. And I think that conversation and communication needs to happen to the sales and marketing teams as well. Don't bring me FUD and don't bring me all that crap. Because I think maybe that's why I get fed up with it more than most, because I have to take all that crap that everybody tells me, all the FUD, I have to dilute it down. I have to concentrate it down to two bullet points of useful fucking information. And I think that's maybe where sales and marketing can help. So yep. I think it's, again, it behooves everybody to know their audience effectively. So maybe that's the other way of looking at it.
Love it. Love it. I'm going to stop and just stay positive, stay safe, keep your up, and come next week. You talk about more good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think next week we should go through the inbox again. I feel like an inbox mode.
We're going to do the inbox mode. This was a good topic. I know people were eager to hear about it. We'll go through the inbox next week, and we'll have some more juicy stuff to talk about.
Totally. All right. Everybody take care.
All right, Chris.
Stay safe.
This has been an episode of What the Fuck Did I Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. Got it right this week. Chris, appreciate you. That's funny, yeah.
You too.
Appreciate you. Have a good day, everybody. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining.